Jace. This episode is all about the recent Phoenix Comic Con held in Phoenix, Arizona, January 2nd through January 5th. So overall, I felt like the show was really successful. It definitely felt like more of a success than last year. For those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a long time, you'll remember I talked about how last year was the first year they separated the celebrities. Some of the TV and sci-fi people that are there just to sign autographs. Last year was the first year they separated them and put them up on the third floor rather than having them on the main convention floor. So there was some growing pains with that. You know, I feel like it cut down on foot traffic. So some of the vendors and retailers didn't do as well last year as they hoped. This year was kind of weird in that some people did really, really well, and others did less than they expected. So it certainly was very crowded at times. Just interesting that it was kind of all over the place for some people. I mean, literally, there could be a person on Artist Alley that did really well, and just two tables down, I would talk to somebody who, you know, didn't seem to have a very busy weekend. It was very hot here in Phoenix this weekend, and that certainly led to its own challenges. The one problem I did hear about, and I didn't hear about this until Saturday, and I actually read about it on an article on Bleeding Cool. They had some trouble on Friday scanning people's barcodes for their pre-bought badges and getting their credit cards swiped. And because the line, it was early in the day when people were first checking in to pick up their badge, and because of that, the line was so long, it had been it had gone all the way outside in the 110 plus degree temperature, and the line didn't really move for a couple hours. So that was a problem. They eventually got the whole line moved inside and got the situation resolved, but I know there were a lot of people that were upset. I hear some people were pretty mad, calling for people to be fired, things like that. And, you know, Matt Solberg, the director of the convention, nobody cares more than him. And, he's open to making mistakes as long as they learn from them. And he freely admits this was a mistake. It won't happen again. The most recent post I read that he put up on his Facebook talked about how in their 6 years now, I think, of doing it, the Phoenix Comic Con, they've never had a line outside. And this was the first time for a few hours where they had a line outside, and he does apologize. I know some people who only had badges on Friday, they honored those badges for the other days of the convention and allowed them to come because they stayed in line so long. They also issued refunds to those people that wanted refunds. So I feel like the powers that be at Phoenix Comic Con are bending over backwards to kind of make up for their mistake. They're admitting it was a mistake. They're apologizing for it. I really think that's all you can do. Like I said, that was the only problem that I heard about. Everybody else seemed to be having a real good time. As I said, there were some growing pains last year, and it kind of overall felt like kind of an air of disappointment over the show last year. I certainly spent a lot more time at the show this year than I did last year. It just felt better, I guess you'd say. Also, I feel like the roster of comic talent, actual comic creators, was much, much better this year. So I got 11 or 12 interviews that'll be rolling out later this week. So that was really, really cool. So starting with Thursday, I took my daughter's out of school this week, so I took her with me. The show started at noon as far as programming, but the show floor didn't open until 4. So we went into the registration area, and it's a different line for press versus, you know, a regular person going in. So there was like no line, and I go to walk right up to the press area to pick up my badge. And who do I run into right away? Sam Jones, Flash Gordon. It's really cool. So as I said, my daughter went with me. We took her stroller. She's four. She's kind of getting too big for the stroller, but I thought it would be a good idea to take it anyway. She was dressed up in her Wonder Woman outfit. Really cool costume, DC Superhero Girls costume that we got at Target. And she wanted to take all her DC Superhero Girls with her. Oh, and I should also mention that she did wear her little fuzzy bunny ears that I got her. So she was kind of like a Wonder Catwoman. But anyway, she wanted to take all her superhero girls action figures slash dolls with her, which was totally fine. She didn't want to ride in the stroller, but she put all them in the stroller, and she's pushing it. And, you know, we're going by people, and they're saying, oh, look how cute she is. And so we go to get in the line for the press. And there was no line. We just went, you know, to walk through the little ropes to go up and get our press passes. And the line next to that, or the little area next to that, the check-in next to that, I guess you'd say, was where all the guests would check in, like the media guests and such. So we go, she goes pushing it up there, and Sam Jones had just checked in, and he's kind of standing there talking to some people, and he sees her, and he's like, wow, look at her. She's got her whole family with her. And so Aspen kind of stops, and he's looking down, and he asks her if he can buy one of those. And she gives him this look like he's literally asking to buy one of her children. And she just like shakes her head, no, and proceeds to walk on by him. And he got a big kick out of that. He chuckled, and then he turned to the people that he was with, and said, "Wow, I don't know what I would have said had she said yes. I could buy one." And I told him, "Yeah, she doesn't really like to leave home without those, so she takes them everywhere." So that was really cool. And so yeah, then we got our press passes, and we headed downstairs. It wasn't quite 4 o'clock yet. So it was kind of a bottleneck. They weren't really letting any more people downstairs. And because we had the stroller, we wanted to take the elevator. The line for the elevator was long. That was probably the longest line I stood in all weekend. But eventually we got down there. We started walking around the show floor. Artist Alley, as I said, there were a lot more comic creators this year. People that are currently working in comics. So I saw friends like Norm Ratman, Todd Knock, Dan Jurgens was there, Phil Hester, Chad Harden, Mitch Gerrits, Heath Corson was there, John Layman, Brian and Christy Miller from Hi-Fi Designs, Kurt Busick, Barry Kitson, and I have interviews with some of these people. Also, George Perez was there. He had one of the longest lines all weekend. I didn't really brave that line. You know, I had gotten a sketch from him at Amazing Arizona recently, so kind of stayed away from that long line. Also, Art Adams was there. So there was a lot of really, really good creators. Tom Hodges, Tom Rainey. As far as publishers go, Valiant was there, as was Aspen Comics. IDW wasn't there this year, but Action Labs was. And let's see what other publishers. Brian Polito's Coffin Comics was there. And then there was, you know, various small press and what have you. So, as I said, it was kind of mixed for the creators and small press publishers and Artist Alley. Some that I know, like the girls from Hex Comics, who do Hex 11, they sold out. They had a great weekend. They sold out. They had brought a lot of volumes of their trade paperback for Hex 11, which is collects the first five or six issues, and they sold out like halfway through Sunday, or maybe not even quite halfway through Sunday. They were already sold out. But then just a few tables down from them, my friend artist Philip Seve said that it was a good show, and he loves the show, but it just wasn't as busy and didn't do quite as well as he thought he was going to do. So as I said, it was kind of all over the place. Also saw my good friend Jason Metcalf, who was there, so it was good to see him. So Saturday we just kind of walked around, got the lay of the land. I talked to a few creators and confirmed my interviews with them. I had contacted through Phoenix Comic Con everyone who I wanted to have interviews with, and some people had a chance to get back to me and some didn't. So for those that did, like Barry Kitson and Kurt Busick, I confirmed my interviews with them, and then others who I hadn't heard from, I went and scheduled interviews for the remainder of the weekend. Also, I do the Phoenix Fiesta, as I call it, every year at Phoenix Comic Con, which is just a little get-together at my house. I'm a chef, for those of you that don't know. And it's just a way for me to give the creators a good home-cooked quality meal when they're on the road, rather than just eating crappy con food or eating at a restaurant for the umpteenth time. So I've invited all the people who've given of their time to be on the show and do interviews with me and such. So did that on Friday, on Thursday as well. It was crazy busy on Thursday, though. Like, I've never seen, this is the fourth time I've gone to Phoenix Comic Con, I think. I've never seen a Thursday that was that busy. And I heard that from a lot of people going, man, this is just crazy how many people are here. So, I don't know if it was full event people. I don't recall seeing too many people with just Thursday badges. In fact, I don't even know if they sell for just Thursday. But there were a lot of people there. And maybe it was because they knew it was going to be a hot weekend, and that this was kind of, you know, later in the day and before the temperature really ramped up on Friday and Saturday. But for whatever reason, yeah, it was really a busy weekend, which I think also for some people, as far as financial success of the show, it maybe gave them the impression that the entire show was going to be a crazy weekend and they were going to do gangbusters. And then it just kind of gradually, like Friday was slower than Thursday, and then Saturday seemed to be, while there were more people there, like sales-wise, a little slower than Friday, and then Sunday was even slower than Saturday. So, you know, Saturday seems to be the day that even though it's the most crowded, you have the most people that are just there to kind of walk around and get the lay of the land and check it out and not necessarily spend money. So, but yeah, Thursday was crazy. I got an Earthman sketch in my Legion of Superheroes book at Phoenix Fan Fest this year by an artist named Javier Pena. And he was there also. And when I had got the Earthman sketch, he asked me if I was going to go to Phoenix Comic Con. I said, yes, of course. And he said, good, because I want you to bring this by because I want to ink it for you. I didn't bring any of my inking tools with me. And so I did that as well on Thursday. I dropped that off. And then, as I said, I met up with some of the artists who I had interviews scheduled with to confirm. One of those artists was Barry Kitson, who's easily in my top three artists whose work I love. His series Empire, a creator-owned book with Mark Waid, is one of my favorite books of all time. And I saw that he was doing commissions. And he also had some pages there in his portfolio. So I was flipping through, and there were several Empire pages. And I picked one out. It was just pencils. And it was only $45, which I couldn't believe. A great price. And I also paid for my commission. More toward the back of the book, there was a full page of Golgoth, who's the main character in Empire. And for those of you not familiar with the story, it's like, okay, imagine if Doctor Doom won and actually took over the world. Now what? What happens next? So it's a very political book. It's very exciting. And Golgoth is this Doctor Doom type character. And he's very imposing. He has this armor. Nobody knows what his real face looks like and such. So there was a page in the back that was like a full splash page of Golgoth. And he's kind of sitting in his throne. And he's looking at this communication sphere that he uses to talk to people. It's kind of floating there in midair. And there was no price on it. But I figured it would probably be at least $300. And so even though I loved the page, I was like, I'll get the other page, which was also a great page. And I'll get a commission. So I think the commission for like a bust, which it's not a sketch, it's a commission. He pencils, then he inks it, and then he colors it with watercolor. So it's a full-on commission, not a sketch. And that was $70. So it was $115 for both. So I paid for that. And then all the rest of the night I was thinking, man, I really wish I could have gotten that other page. Well, when his assistant Mickey got there Friday, he went through and priced everything, and that Golgoth page was only $150. So it was a difference of $105. So Friday, I ended up, I was like, you know, I changed my mind. I'm not going to get the $45 page. I'll pay the difference. I want to get the bigger $150 page. So to own a piece from the actual story of Empire, that's a huge split. And it's, like I said, it's Golgoth in the throne with the spear, the sphere, rather. And along the bottom, there's little panels where each one of the main characters, each one of Golgoth's lieutenants, there's like a close-up of their face. So it's got like all the characters from the book, and it's just, it's an amazing piece. I can't believe I own it. And Barry didn't finish my commission until like next to his last commission on Sunday, which was fine. You know, I was happy to wait for it. I got to watch him color most of it toward the end of the day on Sunday, and it's a great piece. The two pieces go together. Like I originally planned on getting them framed separately, but I think might have to spring for like a giant frame and get them framed together, because it's an amazing piece. And Barry Kitson, the man, is a saint. I think he needs to be nominated for knighthood. He was at his table from pretty much the beginning of the day, every day, all the way through the end. He was busy the entire time, and I didn't see him get up ever, not even go to the bathroom. The guy is just so super nice, interacting with his fans. You know, like I said, I had an interview scheduled with him, and I was kind of waiting for a lull, and there never really was one, so we just kind of talked as he worked. And yeah, he, you know, when you meet a creator who you admire, whose work you admire, and they turn out to be this amazing person as well, it like almost elevates their work to another level, because, you know, they don't, as a creator, really the only contract you have is with whoever you agree to do a book with. You know, your contract is to put the book out. It's not necessarily to be active on social media or to go to conventions and interact with your fans. And so when they go above and beyond, especially, as I said, like Barry, who clearly gave of himself, he's probably exhausted today by being at the convention so much and by doing so many commissions for fans. It's really cool to see. Like I said, he was already one of my favorite creators, and in my estimation, he's only gone up in my eyes. The guy is just awesome, awesome. So let's see, what else on Thursday? I think that's about it. Didn't buy anything. Did walk around the retailer area a little bit. There were a few people selling books. There were dollar boxes for bargain books. There were also 2 for $1 boxes that I saw people digging through. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't stay for the whole Thursday night until 9, just because I needed to get home and get some things done for the little get together on Friday. But yeah, it was a good time on Thursday. Like I said, really crowded. And then Friday, I got a late start on Friday. My daughter got a hold of my phone and watched videos on it until the battery died, because she gets up at the ungodly hour of 6 a.m. every day, which is a little earlier than me. And so my alarm didn't go off. I got up later than I wanted. So a little behind. But got to the show. I had 2 interviews scheduled for Friday morning. The first was Barry Kitson, and the second was Kurt Busiek. And they happened to be sitting right next to each other. And like I said, Barry had quite the line. So I actually interviewed Kurt first. And that's a really great interview. That'll be released later this week, along with the rest of the interviews. They'll be rolling out throughout the week. So I talked to Kurt first. It was one of the longer interviews I did. We talked a lot about Astro City, where he gets his story ideas, how he works, just the idea of story and where the industry is going. So really cool interview. Then I had the interview with Barry. I also talked to the wonderful Phil Hester on Friday. Talked about his work on Green Arrow, talked about pop culture in general. So that was really cool. And then I also had an interview on Friday schedule with Paul Scanlon, who's one of the co-founders of Legion M, which is kind of this innovative entertainment company. They're going to be creating content, movies, TV shows, all kinds of crazy stuff, but it's all fan funded and not in the way of like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, the way some of these creators are turning to fans. This is an investment. You own part of the company. You pay your money, and if one of their properties blows up and makes $1 billion, you're going to see a financial return on that. So the information is in the interview. It's a great idea. Surprising that nobody has done it before, but really with the way the laws worked for like... I don't know, financial laws, I guess you'd say, with the Security and Exchange Commission's SEC. this kind of thing wasn't really possible before, and now it is. So Paul's a really smart guy. He has real passion for this idea, and he's got a track record of success. So I encourage all of you to listen to that interview later this week and maybe look into making an investment in Legion M. I think the last thing I did on Friday, because I did leave a little early on Friday just to get home and get cooking for the get-together, was I went to the DC Rebirth panel, which was hosted by Jason Inman from DC All Access. And the panelists were Dan Juergens and Chad Harden. And they just talked about their thoughts on the recently released DC Rebirth 80-page giant by Geoff Johns. Talked about the future of the DC universe. Then they took questions. I won a Phoenix Comic Con t-shirt, which was awesome. And yeah, that was pretty much my Friday. I think the only thing I did buy a couple things on Friday. I bought so because I was getting ready for Phoenix Comic Con and I was actually shopping for all the food for the get together on Friday night. On Wednesday, I forgot to go by the comic shop. And there were four DC Rebirth titles that came out last Wednesday. Batman Rebirth, Superman Rebirth, Green Lantern Rebirth, and Green Arrow Rebirth. And they all had variant covers. So I was worried, since I missed on a Wednesday, by the time I'd get down to my comic shop, that the variants might all be gone. So there was one vendor there that had all of them. So I picked up those from him. I think that was the only thing I bought on Friday, other than to upgrade the page that I had decided to get from Barry Kitson. So it was really cool to talk to all those people. So that was my Friday. It was pretty cool. So came home early, made sure everything was squared away, thanks to my lovely wife and my sister, who lives here in Phoenix, was helping out. And then my brother and I and my sister, we drove back down to the convention center to pick up some of the people that were coming, because, you know, they're here visiting from out of town. A lot of them have flown in and they're staying at the hotel right next to the convention center, so they have no vehicle. So went down there, picked up some people, and came back, had a great time. Thanks to everybody who came. It was just fun to hang out. You know, they get a chance to unwind, relax, and eat some good food. So that was a lot of fun. I got up early Saturday, packed up what leftovers there were, kind of made some little lunch for some of the creators that I invited that weren't able to come for various reasons. And first thing I did Saturday when I got inside was to pass out that food to everybody. So they were all very appreciative. So that was really cool. On Saturday, I did interviews with Dan Juergens. We talked about his thoughts on Rebirth and his thoughts on seeing a lot of things that he'd drawn and created, and ideas that he had when he did the Death of Superman story on the big screen in Batman versus Superman. Dan Juergens, for me, is the Superman guy, having grown up with Superman in the Triangle era, where there were the little numbered triangles on the cover where the books would tie in closely, all the Superman titles would tie in closely with each other. And so Dan, he's been around comics for a long time, and he kind of understands, as he gets further away, and he says this in the interview, as he gets further away from the Death of Superman story, the impact of it, the importance of it starts to sink in more and more. He's really excited for Rebirth. We talked about maybe the shortcomings of the New 52 and why he feels like this was a good step for DC. Much like Barry Kitson, Dan is one of my favorite creators. I've interviewed him a couple times before. The first time was at WonderCon a couple years ago about the DC New 52 Futures End Weekly series. And then I got to talk to him at WonderCon just real briefly, because there were so many people waiting to talk to him at the DC Rebirth little press junket they had there. But this is the first time I really got to sit down and just talk Superman with him without feeling rushed and everything. And that was just a dream come true. And Dan's a super, super nice guy. Very intelligent, very knowledgeable about the comics industry, very self-aware of his place in it. Dan Juergens is just amazing. I love that guy. So that was a lot of fun. I also talked to Mitch Gerrits. He's the artist on Sheriff of Babylon, title from DC's Vertigo that he does with Tom King. talked about his process, talked about the way he works, talked about the importance of telling the story that they're telling in Sheriff of Babylon. So again, Mitch, someone I consider a friend. It was great to see him again and talk Sheriff of Babylon. I also talked to Heath Corson, who a lot of you may not be familiar with, but he did the Bizarro miniseries last year for DC, and he also has done a ton of work in the animated world, writing and directing, especially specifically in the DC animated universe with DC animated universe movies like Arkham War, or is it? No, Assault on Arkham Asylum, Justice League War, Throne of Atlantis, stories like that. So he was a really fun interview, very knowledgeable, very talented. And at the end, he also told me this great story about when he moved from Chicago to L.A. And you guys, I implore you, listen to that story. It's amazing, highly entertaining. Probably my favorite story that I was told all week, and it was awesome. And the last interview I had on Saturday was with John Layman. Of course, he has the creator-owned book, Chew. Really quirky guy, great sense of humor. I really see where the sensibility that you... you kind of get that comes across the page when you read Chew. I see where that comes from, having talked to John, and he was a lot of fun as well. So that was it for my interviews on Saturday. On Saturday, I had to leave early again because my daughter had a dance recital. I did a little bit more shopping on Saturday as well. As I said, there were some 2 for $1 books. I picked up a big stack, like 41 books. I got for $20. And they were all either DC's New 52, the weekly series. I had some holes to fill, so I picked up like 9 of those. And then there were some Batman Brave and the Bolds. They weren't all in super great shape, but they were all at least in good shape. And a lot of them were in great shape. So to be able to pick up Batman Brave and the Bold classic stuff like that, 50 cents was awesome. And that was one of the local retailers here had a table with just nothing but long boxes on it. And it was pretty crowded in that area because there were people going through those books left and right. I also picked up Volume 1 of Clone in trade. And of course, I own that already, and I have multiples of all the issues. But I wanted to send it to a friend, actually, who I want to read Clone. So I figured it would be a good chance. There were a lot of half-price trades, or a few, I should say, not a lot, but a few retailers that were selling half-price trades. So I picked that up there as well. And then the last thing I did Saturday before I left was I had an interview with PJ Harzma, the showrunner from Con Man, Alan Tudyk's crowd-funded hilarious comedy show about a guy who is a classically trained actor who was on this sci-fi show that got canceled way too early, even though it was beloved by its fans. And he finds himself unable to really get the kind of work he wants, and he ends up having to hit the con circuit and sign autographs. And yeah, if that sounds familiar, I'm not sure exactly where he got the idea. But anyway, it's a hilarious show. PJ Harzma, as I said, is the showrunner. So I interviewed him, and then the show within the show, which is called Spectrum, there's a comic based on that that's coming out, and a lot of that comic work is being handled by Shannon Eric Denton. So I got a chance to talk with PJ and Shannon at the very end of the day Saturday about the Spectrum comic, how it spun out of Con Man, Con Man Season 2, all that stuff. So that was really cool. And what I had done right before that...
Science fiction is supposed to be about the future. Why are the fans so obsessed with the past?
Are you Ray Nearly?
No, I am not.
Was I went to the Con Man panel, which was really cool. It was PJ, it was Shannon, and also Nolan North, who a lot of you may know as the voice of the main character in Uncharted. He has a character he plays in the Con Man series called Jerry Lansing. And he's probably my favorite character in the show. He's absolutely hilarious. I learned during the panel that Nolan actually got his start as a stand-up comedian in New York, which I had no idea. But he's a really, really funny guy. The panel was awesome. Good energy. The whole Con Man community is amazing. There's a lot of Con Man stuff on the way. There's a video game. They talked about Season 2 coming out. They talked about different places you're going to be able to watch season one. So really, really cool. There was also a lot of talk on the model of Con Man, like the way it all came together and everything. And it was really awesome to hear how much passion the creators have for the project. And yeah, hoping to have PJ and Alan on. We've talked about it a few times, getting them on the podcast. So hopefully we can make that happen in the future. But definitely listen for the interview coming out later this week. It was a lot of fun. I'm a huge Con Man fan. Love what they're doing. I love that they're kind of, much like Legion M, they're kind of turning Hollywood on its head with a different way to do things. So that was really cool. And that was, as I said, the last thing I did on Saturday, except I did run upstairs to the third floor. It was pretty much the only time I went up there, was to go to the Con Man panel and then to meet a friend in the celebrity area right before I left on Saturday. The rest of the time, I just stayed down on the main floor. Previous years, I'd gone up there to check it out. But this year, as I mentioned, there were a lot more comic creators that I wanted to talk to and interview. So I spent most of my time on the main floor. Sunday, took my wife and daughter. We went, had an interview with Chad Harden, the artist on Harley Quinn, first thing on Sunday. So I did that. And then just kind of walked around. Got my daughter and wife matching glitter tattoos, which was cool. Bought her some handcrafted bows for her hair. Got her a little charm necklace. Had an interview in the afternoon with Brian and Christy Miller from Hi-Fi Design. It was great to talk to them about the changes in technology for coloring, how accessible it's become, how rewarding it feels when they see somebody that they've mentored kind of make it start getting work. And there's information in the interview if you're interested in coloring. I know a lot of people would love to work in comics. They love the medium so much, but they can't draw or write. What can I do? Well, with the tools that are available now, if you have the right kind of aesthetic, you can definitely look at doing digital coloring as a way in. So that was cool as well. And like I said, we just walked around. There were some retailers selling some interesting things. You know, kind of the usual suspects, lightsabers and swords and action figures and T-shirts and hats and all that. There were also Mile High Comics was there, which is a pretty big deal, being that they're such a big retailer. They don't do a whole ton of shows, so to see them come out, I'll be interested to read Chuck's next newsletter. I'm sure he'll talk about whether or not it was a success for them. They have a pretty big setup. They have more overhead than your average retailer or a vendor would, I would assume. There was also this really cool place selling handmade jackets, kind of, and coats. It's kind of this denim material, and they were kind of superhero inspired. Not that it had a Superman or Batman or whatever, but they looked like costumes that that people would wear, like superheroes would wear. It was really cool. There was a really, really cool jacket that I'd walked by the booth a couple times over the weekend that I wanted to check out, but I never stopped and just didn't take the time until Sunday. And when I went on Sunday, they were all sold out. So the jacket was like $295. So it's probably a good thing it was sold out. Don't know that I would have spent that amount anyway. But yeah, then just took the time, took the opportunity Sunday afternoon to thank all the creators that gave me interviews. As I mentioned earlier, I picked up my Barry Kitson page, my Barry Kitson commission, which just was amazing. Just thank the creators that got a chance to come to the Phoenix Fiesta and those that took time to do interviews. Said bye to a few friends, like the girls from Hex 11, Philip Seve, Jason Metcalf. So, yeah, definitely a successful show. We'll be back next year. For those of you who have never been to a show, Phoenix Comic Con is a pretty big show. It gives you a really good idea of what a major comic book convention is like. And if you have a hard time getting badges or passes for the bigger shows like New York or San Diego, Phoenix is a great kind of a great starting point to see if you really want to go through the trouble to go to one of the bigger shows. It was unfortunate, the heat this weekend. Last year it was on the last weekend in May, and it was hot. It was really hot. Not quite as hot as it was this weekend, but they moved it back a week, and again, it was super, super hot this weekend. if they would have had it last weekend, the last weekend in May, like they did last year, it was like 85, and it would have been gorgeous. It just seems like the gods just want to convince all the people coming from out of town to go to Phoenix Comic Con that we live on the face of the sun. So no matter what weekend the con is, all of a sudden that's like our first super hot, crazy weekend. But it's definitely not typical of Phoenix. I mean, when I say it was hot this weekend, it was these were record-setting temperatures. The 115 it was on Friday or Saturday or whatever day, it was the 5th, so maybe Sunday. But anyway, 115, it was the earliest ever in the history of recorded weather that it had been 115 that early in the year. So yeah, as I said, unfortunate, but it was nice and cool inside, especially downstairs where the main floor is. You're underground. So wildly successful show. A lot of great interviews coming up. So thanks everybody for listening. If you would like to follow along with the Comic Source podcast, the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, which is thecomicsourceblog.com, for past episodes of the podcast. You can watch episodes of our YouTube channel there as well. Find Manny's written blog, my written blog, and of course our sketch gallery. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. And if you do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram, you can keep up to date on new episodes and convention coverage. I take a lot of Instagram photos when I'm at conventions, and I always post up on Twitter and Facebook whenever new episodes of the podcast come out. So as I said, thanks for listening, everybody. Look for those interviews to roll out throughout the week.